Mishnah Yomis 4, Monday, the 13th day of El Tovshin Pei Dalad, Masechta Bava Kamma, Perek Asiri, Mishnah Yud, and the last Mishnah of the Masechta. We deal here with tradesmen who have leftover material from their client as to whether they're allowed to keep that material or whether it's called stealing, what things yet they have to return, what things they don't have to return. Mishnah Yud. Mochin Shah Kovas Motzi. Any threads that the laundry man takes out from the wool when he's washing it and cleaning it, Hara Elishloi, he can keep it. The owner of the garment wouldn't mind some threads being taken. But the threads that the comber takes out when he's combing someone's wool, Hara Elishloi Balabais, that he cannot keep. He has to give to the owner because he takes out much more hairs when he's combing it. And we say his client would be particular, would be makbid about it. Hakovas notel shlosha chutin vehenshalo. A laundry man is allowed to take up to three threads, which are woven at the edge of the garment, and he can keep it. People that used to make woolen garments used to weave three threads from some of the material at the end of the bag, at the end of the garment, and the laundry man can take them, and he can use them to and it can fix up the garment and make it look nice and even. But it's a small amount, and we say that his client would not bother with it, would not worry about it. But Yeser McCain, anything more than three threads, Hara Elusha Balabais, they belong to the client, the one who's given him the garment to dry clean, and he cannot keep it. Then, and not only those which are more than three threads, but the whole lot of it, all the threads must be kept or given back to the balabais. Im hoya hashachar al gabe halovan. What happens if the threads that were there were black ones on a white garment? Noitel. Then the laundryman can take all of them, esakol, even if they're more than three. Because clearly the client would only be too happy to get rid of the black threads that are really like a stain on the white garment. Hachayot Shashir min hachut. If you have a tailor who left over some of the thread that the balabais gave him, left over from the garment that he's been stitching up, kedei lisbor bo, but the thread that was left was enough to use it to stitch. So it's something that's not totally insignificant. The Gemara explains it's about twice the length of the needle. Or matlis shehi shalash shalash. Or if the weaver had left over about a cloth that was about 3 finger breadths by 3 finger breadths, which he didn't need anymore to finish off the garment, does he have to give it back to the client? And the answer is yes. Hara elish balabais. Why? Because we say the balabais would be concerned if it's that amount that's left over and it wasn't given back to him. He'd be upset about that. Now, if there's anything less than the shurim, and we know that the client wouldn't mind about it, then the tradesman can keep it, the tailor can keep it. If it's the balabais is makbid, then of course it must be given back to him. Ma shehechorosh moitzi b'matzot. The pieces or splinters of wood that the carpenter cuts away when he's smoothening the boards with a planer, Hara Elishalo, the carpenter can keep them. We say that the owner of the timber would not be fussed about that if the carpenter keeps that. Uvakashil, but any splinters of wood that the carpenter is cutting away with a hammer, an axe, it's a sort of form of an axe, Shabalabais. The client has to be given them back because we assume that he would be makbid, he would be particular about not getting him back. This is all if he's doing the work, the tradesman's doing the work in his home. Ve'im hoya oisa eitzel balabais. If, however, the tradesman was working on this thing in the house of the client, then up in the source, even the sawdust, Shabalabais, has to be left for the house owner and not for himself. He cannot take that. Rambam Paskins, that in these matters, and anything like that, the principal guiding rule has to be what is the minigam dinner, what is the country's custom there. Slikalahu Masechtas Baba Kama, and we start now Onyu Masechta Baba Metzia, literally the middle gate. Our Masechta deals with different claims that people have against each other as a result of ordinary business transactions. We also deal with other Dine Mominus as well. And the first two Prokha that we're going to deal with a lost and found article. Perek Aleph, Baba Metzia, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Shnai Mechzin Batalis, two people holding onto a garment, holding onto a jacket, a coat. Zeh Omer Animet Zosia, one says, I found it. Zeh Omer Animet Zosia, the other one says, I found it. Each one says that they found it and they lifted it up first, which means they make a kinyan. It's theirs. And the friend, one of the people maintains that he picked it up first, and his friend now chapped it after he had already had it in his hand. It's really all his. The other one says exactly the opposite. He says he picked it up first, and the other fellow then picked it up afterwards to gain ownership. Now, it's possible that neither are lying. It's possible that they both picked it up at the same time. But in our case, we're talking about where each one thinks that they picked it up first. And we're talking about a type of metzia, type of object that does not have to be returned to the owners. There's no simon or whatever the reason may be. It's something you don't have to return to the owner. Zeh omer kula shali. Each one says, it's all mine. Zeh omer, and the other one says, kula shali, it's all mine. The Gemara explains that this is talking about a transaction case of buying and selling, where a person had sold something to one of two people, because one person gave him the money, and that was made in the transaction. The other fellow thrust the money against his will and said, here, take it. And now the seller doesn't remember who gave him the money agreeably, amicably, and therefore belongs to him, or who gave it to me. The money that I didn't want to sell to him, was forced upon me. That's the case we're talking about, according to the Gemara. It's a separate case than what we just said. Well, in this case, Zeh Yishava She'en Labo Pachas Mechatzia, one will swear that he has no less than a half of the jacket ownership of it, but Zeh Yishava She'en Labo Pachas Mechatzia, and the other one where he doesn't have less than half of the ownership of the jacket, v'yachloku, and they divide the talis between them. And if they can't divide it or split it, then obviously they will sell it and split the proceeds of sale. Now this ashvur, this oath that each one swears that they don't have less than a half, the Gemara explains that they don't swear that they own the whole thing. Each one can't swear they own the whole thing, because you never make a person swear for something they're not going to get. They're not going to get the full talis, the full coat. Each one says it's theirs. What are they going to get? Each one's going to get no less than a half. So that's what they swear. They swear each one's swearing no less than a half. Now, why do they have to give a shvur, any oath? I mean, why don't we just divide it between them without any shvur? They're both muchzik, they're both holding on to the talis. And the reason that Chachamim made the people swear is because otherwise, if you don't have to give a shvur, people might think, oh, I'll grab someone else's talis and say it's all mine, and they'll be forced to divide it. So that's to stop that happening, because if you have to give a shvur, an oath, you think twice about making such a claim. The Gemara also adds and qualifies our Mishnah by saying that we're talking about a case here where each one was holding on to the hem, the threads of the edge of the talis. And if that's the case, that's why they each one has to swear they don't get less than that amount, and they get whatever they're entitled to. But what happens if they're both holding to the actual talus itself, not just the hem of the talus? Then we would say, says the Gemara, that each one would get ad mokem she'ira magas. They would get the part of the talus of that coat as far as the hand could reach. So he reaches up to this part of the jacket, this part of the jacket, and then that's how much they would divide the rest of the jacket, that's where their hands could not reach, with a shvur, with an oath. So, in that case, if in fact each one was holding half of the talus, half of the garment, and the other one was holding half, then there's nothing in between left, And if that's the case, they would divide it in half without any shvur, without any oath. The oath is only needed, the shvur is only needed for the part that they're not actually muhsik on, not actually holding. Zeh omer kula shli v'zeh omer chatzi li. What happens if one of them says, it's all mine? The other one says, it's half mine. For example, where the person who says it's half mine says, we picked it up together. So therefore, I get 50%, you get 50%. And the first guy says, no, I picked that up all myself first. And therefore, I get all of it. What happens in such a case? What happens is, Yishova she'ein loy bo pachas mishlosha chalokim. The one who says it's all mine will swear that he doesn't have less than 3/4, because that's what we're going to give him. We're going to give him 3/4, because half of it, the other fellow agrees that it belongs to him. They're only arguing about the other half. So we split the other half, and he's going to get half of that half, which is 1/4. So the one who says it's all mine gets 3/4. And the one who says it's half mine, he admits that we picked it up together. He, the one who says it's half mine, will swear, Yishova she'ein lo pachas merviya, that he doesn't own less than 1/4. One will get 3/4 then, and the other one, and the other one will get 1/4 of the talis.